Everyone in the town that they live in has their festival, their holiday that they are good at. And this is his. He is good at Christmas. But then this new neighbour comes in, called Buddy, played by Danny DeVito. And he wants to be seen. He wants people to remember him. He wants to leave his mark. He gets really bored in his job, so what he decides to do is stick up some Christmas lights. And his children tell him that you can see some people's house from space using this new program of sound. And he makes it his mission for his house to be seen from space. And it gets way out of hand. It's so bright it wakes up all the neighbours, and then eventually ends up like that, with this light show that he plays until 4 in the morning. But the problem is, both him and the other character lose sight of what's important. It becomes all about beating each other, becomes all about the light display, all about the tinsel and the turkey. Now, me and Sandra were joking before the service about she wanted to go out to his church, they're having a party, and I said, "Would you not want to hear about Jesus? We're going to be serious in here." But I don't think there's a difference between the two. I don't think Jesus and fun can be separate. I think there's something wrong if we don't have fun in here while the kids are having fun out there.
Yeah.
So we're going to play Jenga for the next 45 minutes. And then Twister after that. I mean, some of you will not make it through this.
No,
so.
I will not.
But you've probably heard preachers in the past tell you how commercialism is wrong. The commercialism of Christmas is terrible. It's evil. You've probably had conversations at work about you can't believe quite how early the co-op stuck out its Christmas stuff at the back by the bakery.
Easter eggs now.
Oh, my days.
Yeah, Easter eggs are.
But you've probably had the age-old conversation with friends and family, how early is too early to put up the tree? Now, it doesn't matter what your opinion is on that. I'm not going to fall out with you this morning over it. We put ours up yesterday. So if other people think that's too early, if you want to pray for me, that's fine. I think anything before December is wrong. I mean, I think that might be the church's official stance. I don't know. But what if all of that shiny, bright tinsel, the attractive lights, the brilliant parties, the fantastic food, what if all of that drew us in? What if all of that was something more to it and behind it? I think you can probably all guess where I'm going with this morning's message. Because what if we are drawn in and we stick around, we find something far more precious than the gifts under the tree? God is quite good at grabbing our attention. You might say, but I've never heard him speak. Maybe we're not listening or focusing in the right place. But in the Old Testament, God often goes, "Oi! Listen up, people! There is something wrong here." This whole series is called Hark. And Hark is literally getting someone's attention. The angels sing, "Hark!" Or the song goes, "Hark the herald angels." They're declaring something, getting our attention. But he doesn't just get it through the prophets, he doesn't get our attention through angels. He gets it through other things. So, this is probably the most un-Christmassy Bible passage we're going to look at. And it does have light in it, sort of. We're going to go to Exodus. We're going to Exodus 3. And I want you to take it seriously this morning, so I have a Bible rather than my tablet. In Exodus 3, starting at verse 1 through to verse 5. Now, you all know this passage fairly well. It's one that's often taught in Sunday schools. You'll be all familiar with it. We're going to break it down to a couple of points as we go through. So, starting at verse 1 in chapter 3. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, "I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush, "Moses." Moses. I'm probably not that. He says, "Here I am." Then he said, "Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet. The place on which you are standing is holy ground." So this is our key passage for this morning we're going to look at. We're going to unpack it and see what it's got to say to us about the tinsel and the shiny. Because I'm terrible at getting distracted. I remember me and Sarah hadn't been married very long, and we're in our first house. I'd come home from work, Sarah come home from work, she'd done the food shopping on the way home. We're having a conversation about something Sarah thought was very important, probably by my reaction I thought was less important. Doesn't mean it wasn't important. And of all things to get distracted by, as we're talking, having a serious conversation, oh, you bought grapes. Now, I'm terrible at getting distracted, but things draw us in, those shiny things. So this burning bush, it highlights three questions for me, because clearly it drew me to sin. But we're going to go through three questions to explore this. What was the purpose of the burning bush? Okay. What would have happened if Moses focused only on the bush? And what's more amazing than burning bush? A lot of burning bush in there. So, what was the purpose? We've already said it was to grab Moses' attention. A bit like Christmas grabs everyone's attention around us. The lights on the houses, the lights on the tree, the offers in the supermarket. We put some lights outside our house for the first time in 10 years. Because you can take the guy out of the north, but you can't take the north out of the guy. I refuse to pay a lot of money for them, and they're a lot smaller than I expected. But we have lights. But Christmas grabs our attention, doesn't it? Everyone is focused on it this time of year. The burning bush also was a symbol of God's holiness. He even says, remove your sandals, you are on holy ground. Everything about the true message of Christmas points towards God's holiness. And it's a symbol to show that man can draw near to God. They're able to approach him and speak to him. Later on in Exodus, it says that Moses spoke to God as a friend speaks face to face with a friend. It shows that relationship is possible. So it's one of the very few times of year that people are happy to come into a church to hear about Jesus in a non-offensive way, that they don't go, oh, whoa, 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 hang on a minute. Don't you dare tell me about Jesus. I'm happy to use his name as a swear word, but don't you ever try and tell me that he's died for my sins. So we have this perfect storm of opportunity at Christmas, of people being drawn in. You've got the shiny lights of people going, ooh, there's something different here. We're all doing it. It displays something amazing. And it shows that we can have a relationship. Now, we might disregard that, or some say it's just all trimmings, but what if we use it to help us, rather than going, it's bad because there's very little to do with Jesus in our Christmas decorations. Unless you've got a big day glow nativity seat on your lawn. I mean, that's next year's plan. But in Paul, the Apostle Paul understood this concept of using the stuff that's around you to explain the deeper mysteries of God. So when he was in Athens discussing with the leading thinkers of the day in the Areopagus, he said this. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are religious. For as I pass along and observe the objects of your worship, I find also an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you." And he goes on to explain who this God is that they don't know. We can do the same at Christmas. It's an unbelievable opportunity because people are celebrating it anyway. And it doesn't have to be, you need Jesus, and you. You definitely need Jesus. Mark, for the purpose of the recording. But that's what we can do. It draws people in. It gives us this unique opportunity. But what happens if Moses just focused on the burning bush? What happens if we just focus on the decorations, on the food? I mean, I'm going to keep coming back to the food because I love Christmas food. I'm going to put on so much weight at Christmas. I mean, I've not lost last year's, so. It would have become an idol to him. The bush would have become an idol to Moses. He'd have started to worship it. He would have missed what was going to come next. He would have missed the conversation that would have happened with God. If we focus just on the glitz and glamour and the tinsel and the decoration of Christmas, we miss what's to come afterwards. Christmas just becomes Christmas and that's all it is. There's nothing that follows it. We all know there is good news that follows Christmas. 4 months later in our calendar. But if we leave Christmas as Christmas, that's all it stays. Moses would become disillusioned. He had been searching for burning bushes constantly in his life. This is how God speaks to me. This is what God does. If it's not in a burning bush, it ain't God. Don't know about you, but that's maybe somehow I treat my Christian faith. I'm waiting for the feels, the thuddy chest, the shakes, the sweats, whatever it is that happens to you when God speaks to you. But that's just the stuff that sometimes God uses to get your attention. He doesn't always speak to you like that. I have never fallen over when I've been prayed for. And I don't plan to fall over. If God's going to make me fall over, it's going to be for a reason. And he's going to have to clean me right out. I'm not going down for any reason other than it's God. But some people seek after that. If it doesn't happen in this way, it's not God. And we become disillusioned because we come to church and it's not like Spring Harvest. It's not like Soul Survivor. It's not like Abundant Life Church or Hillsong or any of the other big churches that we think, wow, God is really moving every week there. So we turn this idea of what church is into an idol. We turn the idea of what Christmas is into an idol. And that's what would have happened to Moses if he focused in the wrong place. Do you know that there is a day of the year that is considered the most depressing day of the year? And there's a formula that goes with it. So, anyone want to tell me what that means? Yes, so part of it is credit card bills. So somebody who has been slightly discredited, I'm just going to put that out there. I don't want you thinking this is hard factual science. This is social science, not hard science. Okay? So, in this, we have W relating to weather. So in January, so the in 2020, Blue Monday, which is the most depressing year, happens on the 20th of January. On that date, the weather is generally poor. So you've heard of people having seasonal affective disorder, which is actually a recognised medical condition. People get affected by that, but generally, when it's wet and cold and horrible, people are less happy. When it's warm and sunny, people feel happier. D stands for debt. So the debt has wrapped up, the credit card bill comes in. We've spent too much on the turkey and the presents and the wine and the beer. I must say, this year, I'm very thankful. We made Caleb save up for his own present.
Absolutely right, that's exactly right.
Well, we paid some towards it. I mean, he wanted something very expensive, so we said, well, no, if you want it, let's save up for it. So we will not have a shocking credit card bill in January. D's, monthly salaries. So a lot of companies will move their payment date of your salary the week before Christmas, which blows my mind. I never understand it. Which then makes January a six-week month. So your monthly salary isn't yet in your bank. You don't know whether jobs are stable, all that sort of stuff. You ain't got time since Christmas. So we've all experienced Christmas is over, we're not looking forward to anything in the same way, there's not the big build-up, there's no, we've taken all the lights down, the house now looks bare and boring, and unless you're Sandra and you keep them up all year long. That's your birthday. That's impressive.
So.
But also, Q is time since failing our New Year's resolutions. Most people fail within the first month. One of my colleagues last year decided he was going to be more professional in the new year. It did not last long. M is low motivation levels. So a lot of these things will feed into that. Your motivation levels are low. It's a new year. You've failed your resolutions. It's not Christmas anymore. And NA, the feeling of need to take action. So you know all this stuff is happening, you know all this stuff is weighing down on you, and you know you need to do something about it, but can I be stuffed? Now Christmas can become like this to us if we're not careful, if we focus on all the lovely lights and stuff, because we get that post-Christmas dip. You get to January 20th, And everything's I wish it was just like Christmas again. We had all the tree and the lights up, and we had presents, and we had something to look forward to, and we're always going out to spend time with people. That is quite common for a lot of people. And we don't belittle it in any way, because a lot of people suffer from this type of thing. And I say suffer because it does really affect people. But Christmas is far more than the turkey and the tinsel. So what's more amazing than a burning bush? The burning bush was just a tool. Okay? It was to get Moses' attention. It was a prop so Moses could receive his purpose, his direction, and his vision for the rest of his life. Christmas can do the same for us. I'll explain that a little bit more. Okay? I'm just going to leave it there. It drew Moses in to chat with God. As I said, he spoke face to face to God as a man speaks face to face with his friend. If Moses had got focused on the bush, focused only on the bush, hadn't drawn close to the bush, hadn't gone, oh, shiny, there's a bush over there that's not burning up. And that, I don't know if any of you have seen the tree on fire and it's not got consumed and just kind of kept burning and stayed as a tree, a bush. It's pretty abnormal. But what drew him in enabled him to set him up for the rest of what he did with God in Egypt. But more importantly than chatting with God is that he met with God. Sometimes we like to think that, if only God would speak to me really clearly. What I want is a massive billboard in the middle of town that says, Bill, this is what you're to do with the next 3 years of your life.
Thank you.
Or we want the radio to suddenly change and it be an instant message to us that speaks into us. Or when we open our Bible, there's this verse that just, wow, that's what I've been looking for. Again, we're chasing after the wrong thing. What we should be after is that being with God, being with Jesus. How much of our time we just spent sat with him rather than asking him for stuff? When we pray, how often is it, by the way, God, can you just help me with my fuel this month because we're a little bit low in bank? Maybe the response we get back from God isn't the one we like, which is maybe you should be better with your finances. But like Buddy in the clip that we started with, we can lose sight of what Christmas is really about. This is where we're coming into land, we're coming to the kicker, it's what it's really about, we all know what it's really about. On the count of three. One, two, three is?
Jesus.
I mean, a little bit more passion would be nice, but let's try again. One, two, three.
Jesus!
Thank you, Margaret. See, if we get caught up in the festivities, although they're good and they can point us to stuff, and it's good to celebrate, and it's good to have fun, if we get caught up in that and miss the true meaning, we end up getting disillusioned. We end up not figuring out what we're supposed to do with our lives. So where I really want to finish this morning is kind of where Bill ended up, which is once we strip all the other stuff out of the way, it doesn't make things less special. It makes things more special. Where Bill said, if we understand what actually happened in the Nativity story, just because it didn't all happen at one point within 15 minutes, doesn't make it less special. It shows a careful, meticulous set of plans that were put in place thousands of years before. And that is what we discover when we get drawn in by the tinsel, by the lights, and we meet Jesus. It is the thousands and thousands of years of meticulous planning of a squishy pink baby. All right. But it didn't finish there. Because that baby grows up. That baby was the same baby that would 33 years later die on a cross. That baby was the same baby that at the beginning of time was with the Father and the Spirit creating everything we see. That baby is the Savior of the world then, 33 years later, and now. So my prayer for you this Christmas time is that you'll be drawn in by the pretty lights, that you will enjoy everything the Christmas season has to offer. But once the lights have gone back in the box, once the decorations are in the attic, you'll stay in that place of wonder, of staring at the face of Jesus, because you know you've met the living God.